I have two kids, so I'm very tired all the time.
Welcome to Breathing Flames, the tabletop gaming podcast from IslayTheDragon.com. I'm John, also known as Farmer Lenny on I Slay the Dragon, and today we'll be talking about apps and tabletop games. For some of us, the tabletop gaming hobby is a welcome respite from the cult of the screen. As screens dominate more and more of our lives, our workplaces, our homes, our entertainment, and even our chores, it can be a huge sigh of relief to enter a world that is unaided by a digital helper. Which is why requiring a digital component in board games is such a divisive topic. While some actively resist and boycott the trend, others are ready to welcome our new robot overlords. How should the tabletop gaming hobby navigate this new frontier? What are good uses of digital components in board games, and which are just gimmicks? With me to discuss this today are two fellow Dragon Slayers, Alex.
Hello.
And Wolfie.
I'm right here.
Okay, so to get going, how do you feel? Which category would you say you're in? Are you in the resistance or the robot overlords category for apps?
Bring on the robots.
Well, I bought XCOM the day it came out, and I still own it, so I too like the digital app integrated games.
And just to be contrarian, I guess I am the Luddite in the group, except I wouldn't classify myself as resistant to the point of boycott. I just tend to prefer straight cardboard, although one of my favorite games from the last year was Werewords, which requires an app to be effective.
So you're a skeptic.
I'm a skeptic. That's a good way to put it.
But you're willing to be so to the message of the robot. You're willing to hear.
I am willing to hear the message of the robot if it's a good message.
Okay.
So why are you two so enamored? Why do you think that you are in favor of apps and games?
For me, I grew up playing digital games more so than tabletop games. I grew up with three younger brothers, all huddled around a Nintendo for hours and hours at a time, much to my parents' chagrin. And that's just where I was comfortable interacting with games with the people that I enjoy interacting with. So seeing that creep into the tabletop space doesn't bother me at all. It actually is more comforting. It's a reminder of a simpler time when we take turns trying to beat Mario.
What about you, Wolfie?
I look at a digital app as just another type of game component. Some games have cards, some games have dice, some games have towers that you pour cubes into. I don't know. Some games have miniatures, some games have an app. And I think that an app can do a lot of things and just provide new experiences in ways that cardboard components cannot provide. They can handle information, they can track data secretly or publicly. And not that I would want every game to have an app, just like I wouldn't want every game to have dice or every game to have cubes with towers in them or the other way around. But I think it opens up a lot of doors for new types of games that you could not play without an app that are still primarily cardboard and paper and plastic and tactile and on your table face to face with other players.
I'm surprised I'm not more resistant to the idea. I work in print media. I work in books, and most people expect people who work in books to be books, books, books. That's all there is. And to some degree, I don't own a smartphone. I do have a tablet, and so that's how I use the apps for games that require it.
Wait, what?
But
you don't have a smartphone?
I don't have a smartphone. I have a dumb phone. It is as dumb as it gets. It's a track phone, so it's not even...
Wow.
I know. I'm living the dream. So
John's actually calling in from 1998.
That's right. I'll fax you my notes after the show. So I'm surprised I'm not more resistant to apps, but I found in most of the games that you've used them, if they're used in the right way, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I think Wolfie said it best. They're tools, and any tool can be used incorrectly. You can try using a hammer to saw a piece of wood and it's not going to do the job. But if you use the right tool for the right job, I think it's going to make a pretty good game.
What do you think is using the tool in a wrong way? Do you have any actual examples, or what do you think would be using the tool in the wrong way.
I think by saying that your game is app driven or has app compatibility or it somehow has digital integration, especially in these early phases, it could be used as a marketing ploy. Mm-hmm. And too often it's used for things that really are unnecessary, usually timers or like a randomizer for certain card displays, things like that, which they're not really necessary. They're marginally helpful. They might speed up the play a little bit, but they're really just trying to ride the buzz that's going on.
Yeah, if it's just there to like replace a shuffled deck of cards, but it's like the same thing, or a random number generator where you could just roll dice, I would prefer to roll dice. One game I was actually thinking about that is app integrated, but I think didn't go far enough to integrate the app, was First Martians.
Agree completely.
And I haven't played a ton of that game yet, but there were a lot of elements where I was like, why is this not tracked in the app? Like, why isn't the app used? It's a big, complex game with a ton of rules and a ton of components. And some of those components could have been removed from the box. Like, there's a couple decks that just randomize numbers. And they're decks of cards, so it's not like rolling dice. The dice rolling part of that game is, I'm glad they didn't put that in the app. That's part of the fun. But when I'm just generating a random number, that could just be in the app. And like some of the things could be tracked by the app so that it could provide helpful rules reminders or like trigger certain things like, oh, you need to do this now. And instead, it's almost just like a digital, you press a button to say, hey, next turn. And I'm not even sure all of what it does track other than a few random events.
It does do some things that are helpful. In Robinson Crusoe, I would always forget to move the marker into the next phase. And in First Martians, you can't advance without going through the app and moving to the next phase. But I agree. One of the things that I guess that it tracks is in Robinson Crusoe, for example, if you had something happen to you, you make a decision, you shuffle the card into the event deck, and then eventually that event would turn up. I think it's a little more dynamic in First Martians, but I agree that First Martians is a very complex game with a poorly written rulebook, and it seems like a lot more of the niggling rules could have been offloaded onto a digital helper. Like that seems like the point of the app, and the fact that it doesn't do that is a bit of a frustration. Even something that was frustrating to me is in one of the scenarios I played, we were already low on food, and the event I got dealt that the app gave to me was, oh, here are potatoes, let's make whiskey. Really? We're not eating and we're going to make whiskey out of the potatoes? It was just a complete mismatch to the experience. One of the things that the app was built to do was, oh, it'll select events that make sense with the scenarios and that make sense with the difficulty. It's a way to make the game manageable. And I just feel like that was a big miss.
It sounds like it's not even smarter than what could be completed through a deck of cards or some sort of event book.
Yeah.
And I think something as simple as even a timer app can be done wrong or poorly. I don't know if you've ever played with the Stronghold timer app, especially on Android is where I'm familiar with it. It's an outdated, it has a poor layout and it's not a very good timer. Walkstar is also similarly poor. Whereas something as simple as Escape, while it doesn't actually have an app, it's just a CD, which I put on my phone. It's functionally a timer, but it just plays this sound, this music that sets the tone, sets the mood. It takes advantage of something that can't be done in cardboard. Whereas a timer, really, we've seen sand timers functionally do the same thing.
Although in When I Dream, the sand timer is, as we found out, not super functional.
It gets stuck a lot.
So maybe a digital timer would have been helpful.
Sand timers are also hard to see sometimes, like the sand timer in Mountains of Madness. It's got this really cool blue wooden covering over the sand timer that looks awesome. And then when you're having 30 seconds to shout at each other to play the right cards, you're not looking at the timer and the timer runs out and you don't even notice.
Right.
It'd be nice to have a timer that announced itself with 5 seconds from ending.
Sure, sure. I suppose that my point was that if you're going to do a timer app, maybe go a little bit further than just a simple countdown. Incorporate things that board games can't normally do, such as add sound effects or a soundtrack or set the mood, something that digital form can do.
Unlock's timer is interesting in that respect because it does have background music that fits every unlock scenario. Is a different genre, has a different look, has a different feel to it, and they make the music fit that genre. But for my wife and I, whenever we play Unlock, we have to turn it off because it's so intrusive. We can't even think about the puzzles, which there might be some other problems there, but for us, the background noise is a little too intrusive.
We just turn the volume down on Unlock. It's still there, though.
So, Alex and Wolfie, you both mentioned that app integration into a game, you are excited about the prospect because it promises something that straight cardboard can't do. We talked about apps that weren't really great. What are some examples of well-integrated apps into their cardboard counterparts?
For me, the ultimate example is Alchemists, to a lesser degree, Shop in Time. They're both games that use apps in a similar way, in which the app or the digital implementation has hidden information in the background that if any one player had access to it, it would ruin the experience. In Alchemist, the app sets up random attributes to each of the elements in the game, to each of the resources, so that throughout the game, you're slowly trying to discover what each of the attributes for these resources are. And if someone knew what they all were from the beginning, the game just wouldn't work at all. It's really a study in the scientific method. They actually do have in the box a solution to play without the app, but it's incredibly clunky. It requires a third-party person to sit and watch everyone else play the game and refer to that player whenever they need specific information. So they play basically as a referee, and it's not fun.
Yeah, that does sound kind of boring.
I've got two. The first is XCOM, which is not the most popular game in the world, but I think it was the first that was kind of like, this is an app integrated game where there's an app actually doing more stuff for you. I think they did a great job with just how the app is just a component of the game. It serves as a timer. It serves as a randomized deck of cards in a way to manage where the aliens are coming from. Keeps track of a little bit of information, but not so much that it takes you away from the board. It's a tool for one player to use to produce information without having to deal with clunky decks of cards. And it is a little smarter. It affects things based on the state of the game. So it's using that processor power for good. The other example I have is Mansions of Madness 2nd Edition, which is an interesting game because it's kind of a test case where the first edition of Mansions of Madness was not app-driven. It required a player to be the keeper of the monsters and the puzzles and stuff, and that person had to set up everything ahead of time and track the story and was kind of clunky and messy and people had problems with, was converted into this app-driven game and is extremely fun to play. And again, they did a good job of keeping the app as just a tool that handles some of the things that would be clunky if it were a deck of cards or dice or complicated movement rules or something like that, where it's randomizing events and it's keeping track of a little bit of information, but it's still leaving the players plenty of room to play the game. You still have all the cardboard tiles on the board. You still move the monster pieces around yourself. You're still rolling dice and playing cards. And it kind of lets you immerse yourselves into the game and play it cooperatively, as opposed to worry about all these clunky mechanics that there's so much that you would have to manage.
Right. It offloads a lot of the bookkeeping, which isn't usually the most fun part of the game,
right,
onto a digital helper who really has no concept of having fun.
Did either of you see the video? You mentioned Mansions of Madness. There was someone who did a playthrough of Mansions of Madness, the app, but didn't realize there was a cardboard counterpart that they were supposed to have. And so they were getting kind of confused, like, how does this work? And at the end of it, they said, oh, I really like this game. It's kind of clever. It does something weird. I don't know. I've never played Mansions of Madness, but I watched the video and I thought it was hilarious.
I have not seen that video, but it sounds really funny.
So apparently the Mansions of Madness app is fun unto itself. So
it would be so confusing.
If you're ever away from home and don't have the big box with you.
What's also neat about having this GM style app is that it can enforce rules. It doesn't flub any rules, whereas, you know, the players can sometimes, not through their own fault, they might just do something incorrectly because they misinterpreted a rule. So I do think that that's kind of a nice benefit as well.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys heard of the app is called Dized, D-I-Z-E-D, Dized?
Yes.
No.
They did not pay me to mention them here, but I did a demo last year, I think, at Gen Con, or maybe it was 2 years ago. I mean, their concept is basically creating a more universal app that can teach board games. And it's supposed to be a little beyond just like, you know, you can go to Watch It Played to watch a video of a guy teaching how to play a game. Or there's, you know, probably a dozen or so people that make videos on how to play the games. But the concept of this app is that it can step you through a turn and you interact with it. And it says, okay, do this now. And it teaches you the rules one at a time as you need to know them, so you don't have to watch a video beforehand. It seems like it's taking a while to get it to market. I don't think it's been released yet, even though they've been kind of hyping it up for a couple of years. Maybe they're having trouble getting publishers on board, but it's an interesting idea of taking a new approach to teaching people board games by getting them to play immediately. And I think that's a hurdle that a lot of people face in getting their non-gaming friends to play games, or their wives or their husbands or their children, is like the people who aren't gamers don't really like the idea of sitting and learning a bunch of new rules. Not a lot of people like studying rule books. I do, mm-hmm. but I'm weird. So just like trying to lower that barrier of having to learn a game before you play is an interesting element of both games that have an app integrated, like XCOM, which can teach you the game just by running the app, or having that more universal app that has games you can download into it and it teaches you the game, even though it's not an app integrated game you're playing.
That's an interesting approach. And I've heard of some board game companies trying to take the video game model of you start on a really easy level to just kind of walk through and figure things out as you go. I've heard of board game publishers trying to port that to a board game. And it seems like by going back to an app, it's, you know, it comes to board and then goes back out. It's returning from whence it came.
We're in a cycle of terror.
Going back to what Alex said about DMing apps, I love Bezier Games' apps for One Night Ultimate Werewolf and Werewords. I've played many games of the Resistance, and the Resistance is pretty easy to DM. There are just a few things, spies wake up, you know, recognize each other. But once you add in Avalon, which I've only played Avalon with you, Wolfie, and you did the DMing, you did a fine job. But it just, there's so much to remember. You have to tell people to wake up, stick out their thumbs. And if it got much more complicated than that, it would be a disaster, I'm pretty sure, in just about every group. And I think Bezier Games recognized that with One Night Ultimate Werewolf. And so they thought, we want to keep these zany powers, but the only way for that to work is for the app. And I love it because you can have all of these complex, fun, kind of crazy interactions between different roles. And you can do that because the app is telling people when to wake up, telling them to stick out their thumbs, telling them when to move their cards around. And I just think it makes it so much easier. Werewords to a lesser degree, but I think the reason that Werewords is the game that's going to be remembered over Insider, even though I still like Insider, I think the reason Werewords is going to be remembered is because the app makes it so, what you said, Alex, it reduces the potential for error. I played many games of Insider where the master looked at the wrong word, or the insider looked at the wrong word, and it just kind of fell apart because of this error that I think having a digital app, it's only showing you one word instead of the clever system of you look at the number on the top of the top card of the deck, and that tells you which of the six words is the one you're discussing for that round. I really like the idea of a DM app.
Yeah, that's a really great example, because functionally that game can work by having one of the players just read all that information out. I agree with you that it works so much better by having that offloaded to a computer.
Mm-hmm. And especially for a game that's supposed to last 8 minutes, if 5 of those minutes is figuring out the script you're supposed to read, that's no fun. The thing that keeps it moving and keeps it compelling is that the app is doing all the work for you.
Have you played Spyfall before?
Yes.
I have. I love Spyfall.
Yeah, so it's a really neat game. There's actually a web app, an online implementation that I think actually replaces the need for any physical pieces at all. Everyone just goes to a certain web page. They put in the lobby number. Everyone logs in. As soon as everyone's ready, they hit ready on their device, and it automatically gives the roles to the different players. It handles out the locations to everyone. It's all handled in less than 5 seconds, and you're ready to go. As long as everyone knows the rules, it's such an easier way than shuffling cards or keeping these separate decks. It's, you know, kind of an interesting case in which the app actually, for me, takes over the entire need of the physical.
Now, I would disagree with you there, but that's because I have a dumb phone. So any kind of game that requires every person to run an app is usually a non-starter for me. I said I have a dumb phone. I have a guy in my gaming group who doesn't have a cell phone. So I think that's becoming more and more of a rarity of people not having any device that can handle it. But
you live in Antarctica or something?
I mean, it feels like it. It's April and it's been snowing in Illinois. So what do you think about that, though? There's only been one that I can think of, the world of Yoho, in which every person is required to have an app because every person is required to have a smartphone because the phone is the ship that people move around the board. So the phone is a physical component and the stats are tracked through an app.
I don't have experience with that game myself, but I do think it's an interesting direction to take things. I guess I never really considered people who don't have smartphones because that's just really strange to me. I mean, personally, we probably have 3 or 4 smartphones just laying around unused in my house. And everyone that I know has a smartphone, so it's just kind of an assumed position that I maybe shouldn't have. But I think that that shouldn't stop developers or game designers from pushing in that direction, because eventually those people will die off, and then they'll just be the smartphone people left.
Thanks, Alex.
Yeah, I certainly do think that of all components a game could ask of players, it needs an extra pad of paper or something. Like, most people have that kind of stuff lying around their house, but not everyone has 3 or 4 smartphones lying around to cover a person who doesn't have one. And even if you do have 3 smartphones, are they updated? Are they going to be able to install the app? Are they charged? So I certainly, at this point, I prefer a game to require only one smart device to run the app. And if it requires everyone to have one, it feels less of a board game to me and more of it's starting to be a video game, maybe with physical components. But
yeah, and I'm excited for that blend. I don't care for the distinction between a video game or a board game. As long as people are around in the same space and having a shared experience, that's to me is what really stands out. And in that vein, there are actually a lot of experiences that are only digital that to me have a very tabletop feel. Have you ever played Space Team or heard of it?
Yes.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, to me, that's emblematic of what tabletop is about. It's about bringing people together to the shared experience. And in Space Team, everyone is working together to pilot a spaceship. And on each of their devices, they have a control panel. And every so often, there'll be a command. So one command will say to turn on your window wipers, something like that. But you might not have the window wiper command, so you have to communicate to the other people on their smartphones to, hey, turn on your window wipers. And it just becomes this really hectic mess that reminds me in a lot of ways of something like Space Alert or Magic Maze or even Hanabi a little bit. It takes that tabletop idea and makes it real time, and this unique information that each player has that's only able to be processed through a digital app.
I like how you said every so often, as if it like happens every so often, when in reality it's like every half second. Yeah. Like, yeah. Did you know there's actually a Space Team card game that's based on the app?
No, I don't. Have you tried it?
I have tried it. It's fun. I think the app is better because it's more dynamic and it's more fun when like things are literally exploding and your buttons are falling off your screen and you have to put them back. But it actually does kind of a decent job of recreating that experience just using cards. And it's the same kind of thing where you have a deck of cards for yourself that you have to get through, and each card requires certain tools and devices to pass. But there's only one copy of each tool. You know, everyone's drawing from the same supply of tools. So everyone's shouting like, I need the flamboozler, the uppity whoopler. And like the names are all nonsensical, right? Just like the app. And so you're trying to pass cards around and get the stuff you need. And then all of a sudden someone's floating away and you have to grab them and pull them back to the table. And it's pretty goofy, but it's fun.
I've actually only played the card game and haven't played the app. And I did think it was pretty fun. You said that it's about the shared experience and that the digital can kind of recreate this tabletop experience through other things. I'm not so convinced. So over Thanksgiving, which was my family Christmas, so all my family was together in one house, my brother-in-law brought out this thing called Jackbox TV. Have you heard of it?
Yes, I love those games.
It was fun. I really enjoyed it too. The idea is there's a game show and everyone kind of dials in on their own device, and similar to what you described with the Spyfall, there's a lobby code and everyone enters it and joins the game. And it was really fun for about half an hour to an hour. And then the ease with which you could just keep going into it was the path of least resistance. It began to feel less like we were participating in a shared activity and we were just sitting there watching the TV. And I mean, again, this is probably part of my hesitance. My being a book publisher, Luddite, is I don't know that the experience is the same either way. I'm much more a fan of something like Shop in Time, which similarly recreates the game show idea, but does it with an app that is much less obtrusive than the Jackbox, which is it's supplying the funny narration. It's basically making the jokes for you.
Yes, I do think Jackbox is its own thing. It does have a kind of that spirit of togetherness, but I do think, like you said, the attention is all on the television, whereas something like Space Team, everyone is basically in a circle looking at each other.
Okay.
So there is a slight distinction, and it's never a complete replacement, but I do think as long as they're in that same spirit, they're well worth your time. And I think as more and more board game designers become more comfortable with implementing apps, they can see what things like Jackbox or Space Team or other digital games in that mold, maybe they can incorporate it more fully into their actual board games as we know them.
Where are you hoping that apps take board games in the future? What hasn't been done that you hope to see done?
I was kind of surprised in preparation for this, how few board games actually use apps. I thought there would have been a lot more, but all the lists that I saw were kind of the usual suspects, the ones that everyone has heard of. Not too much that really surprised me, and I'm not a designer, so if I had a great idea, I'd probably just do it myself. But I do like the idea of having one player have their own information hidden from the group that's within this app. A game like Mask of Anubis actually uses VR, where one player is looking through some VR goggles and seeing something on the board that no one else can. And that kind of asymmetrical setup, I would like to see more of.
I would actually love to get a copy of Mask of Anubis, but I don't think my tablet would fit in the VR space.
You got to have a really big head for that.
You'd have to have a really big head or, you'd be kind of off balance, I think.
I know I'd like to see more games like, I mean, I guess this is similar to what Alex is saying, where someone has some information that the other players don't have, but kind of like XCOM, where one player is controlling the app and it's feeding them information or kind of running the NPCs on the board, but just kind of creating more interactive experiences like that, where the app is more of an interactive component of the game as opposed to just feeding information. The concept of VR actually does sound pretty cool with board games. I was trying to think of, I can't remember the name. There's another game that uses VR coming out that is sort of a murder mystery game, and then it has cards and characters and locations and stuff, but then the app has VR locations and you're looking around and trying to find clues and stuff in VR. I wish I could remember the name of the game.
I think it's called Chronicles of Crime.
That's the one. That's it. Yeah. So that sounds cool to me. Like, that's a way where you can use the same cards, characters, locations, and then you scan the little code and it opens up a thing in the app. But based on the scenario that it is, it's a different location. And so you can still do something new and different every time. Whereas if it's just a printed picture, you know, you can't replay that as much. So something like that. It'd be interesting as technology develops to see how, I don't know, like I'm picturing like in the far future when you can get a little like tiny projector that's less than $100 that goes on your table and that's integrated with an app and can project images on your table, mm-hmm. and maybe even like interactive images. You know, you've seen those like laser keyboards that project an image of a keyboard on your desk and you can type, something like that. But obviously that kind of thing is more expensive and not everyone's going to have that. So I think the cost and accessibility of those kinds of devices would have to come down. But I think in the long run, there are just, who knows? I just want to see people be creative with it and not just have purely feeding information for the players to update the board state.
I know in books, as we try to adapt to new media, as we try to make apps and videos and things that work well with our books, it's just, we're trained in print. I mean, that's what we do. And so branching out can be difficult. And I think that we're seeing some of that with board game publishers as well. They know how to publish in cardboard, and it's much more of a leap of faith to go into this new realm of digital. And so the thing that I'm most excited about, where I have the most hope, is a game like First Martians. Basically, I want First Martians, the complete version or the good version, because I think it has so much potential. But right now, it seems like a way to fix errata in a deck of cards rather than printing new cards, instead of something that is really useful in offloading the difficulty of the game. And so for me, the thing that's exciting is narrative possibilities, where you can have branching storylines and it's tracked in a way that makes sense and fits with the theme. So again, I wouldn't want this for something like Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective. I think going to a book makes a lot more sense when you're interacting with a literary character. But something, again, like First Martians, where you're in outer space, it makes sense. And I wish that were more dynamic. And so that's the kind of thing that I'm looking forward to, is something that still feels distinctly cardboard, but takes advantage of all that apps have to offer, in primarily in offloading difficult or thorny patches. So we've talked about apps. We've talked about them.
We need an app to tell us what to talk about next.
I know, apparently. Do you have any final thoughts? Anything you didn't say about apps that you want to say? Aside from, oh, I love technology.
I can't think of an inspirational ending for this one, so.
If you love an app, then it's great.
That sounds good. And you know what? If you don't have a smartphone, you're still a valuable human being.
Still great.
And we love you. Or I love you, at least.
Yeah, I think we're just in the beginning of all of this. I thought it was going to explode more quickly than it has. But I do think that people are still exploring the idea. And I'm pretty excited to see where board games are going to be headed in the next 5 to 10 years.
Same.
When I was a kid, Omega Virus seemed like the pinnacle of technology. And I'm excited to see what Restoration Games does, if indeed they do something with the Omega Virus, what the next iteration will be. You've been listening to Breathing Flames, the podcast. You've been listening to John, Farmer Lenny, Alex, and Wolfie. Thank you so much for being part of the discussion. Thank you for listening. We have much more gaming content on islaythedragon.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Google+, if anyone still uses that. We have a Board Game Geek Guild if you want to discuss anything that we talked about in this episode. If you want to tell us we're wrong, we would love to hear from you. Thank you for listening, and keep slaying dragons.
Thank you for listening. Why is that a question? John, keep slaying dragons. Say it like you mean it.
I mean, I don't really. Keep slaying dragons. Thanks.
You're welcome.